Holy Spirit. Without you anointing these words, it's just going to be a bunch of words. So we're asking you to anoint these words tonight so that the Holy Spirit will be not only the author, but the revelator, so that our hearts and our minds can be changed to the likeness of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Sunday we were in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'd like to kind of just go along starting at verse 12. If you have a nudge to check out the teaching on the first part of that, I think the Lord was using my mouth and I want to give Him the praise. And it was basically starting at verse 3, so I'm going to repeat verse 3 first. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So, He's the author, and He's the revelator that will take us deeper. That, to me, is awesome. Because, to be very truthful with you, back in the times when I bowed my knee to Christ, in 1967, I was desperate. And He decided to let me stay in that desperate position for 10 more years. Now, you'd say, well, why would He let you suffer 10 more years? Have any idea how stubborn I was? How set in my ways that I was? Pete knows. He watched me be changed, to a degree. From 77, He saw. And all teasing aside, we don't know who we really are until the Holy Spirit starts taking off the layers of flesh and the layers of things that have been put on us. When I say put on us or prayed into us, I know that there were those who had their own intentions for me, those who prayed certain prayers for me, dictated certain things into my heart from the time that I was actually conceived on through. Now, how did that affect me? Just like it affected you. Things that were done around you and to you and for you, and as I just took a breath, just got stabbed. You know why? Because we're talking about God's plan for your life versus man's plan for your life. God's plan is eternal. It's going to last for eternity. Man's plan is just for a few years to satisfy somebody's flesh. That's dangerous stuff. Very dangerous. So verse 12 says, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you have now, or you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. What is he implying? Peter's saying that as long as he lives in the tent of this body, he wants to be established in truth. Okay? Verse 14. Because I know that I will soon be put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So he wrote them down. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? There are things that you are going through. There are things that you may be learning for the very first time. And you should journal them. Because somebody down the road can pick that up and be dramatically changed. Should you decide where the Lord wants them to go. Not just to be thrown away. You know, there are times that the Lord will send me back into my old journals. It's to pick up what I've lost from them. And they were written for a reason. And it was to teach me or counsel me or to really, truly change my tomorrow. Excuse me. I was advertising Chuck Caban's Obedience the other day. Because he chose to record a dream in 1992 that would affect the body of Christ. Many years later. Now, 14, because I know that I will soon put it aside. What is he putting aside? The tent that is, or his body. As our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. What is the obedience of Chuck Caban? He recorded the dream that God gave him in 1992 to affect somebody else, his wife and I, and the rest of the church that was not even dreamt about, but was known about by God. In 92, my God, I was there 10 more years before we were asked to leave. So, look at the reality of God's preparation and how He has orchestrated things that are happening now in your life that could have had seed form way back 10, 20, 30 years. Do I get a little tiny amen? Amen. Verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we told you about the power and the coming. The power and the coming. Not just His return. The power of the Lord. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He records what happened even before. And He's reminding the body of Christ. We were the eyewitnesses. How many were there on the mountain? Three or six? Uh-huh. How many said three? But how many were there?
Six.
How do we know?
Because it's recorded.
Because it's recorded. Who was there? Peter, James, and John. Jesus,
Elijah,
and Moses. That's six.
God the Father and the Holy Spirit.
God the Father and the Holy Ghost were there as well. But as far as persons in that natural realm and in the spirit realm, there were six that we know by name. Now, yes, the Father, wherever Jesus is, Father and the Holy Ghost is there as well. But the bottom line is, we only think three because we're so used to the natural. Yeah. See, this heavenly church is a part of the body of Christ. And we so simply want to just poo-poo it away. They're not important. Yes, they are important. They can do what you can't do. They can be impressed into service in order to complete what is needed in your neighborhood and in your family and in those that are hurting, much sweeter, much more kind, much more loving than you could ever perform it. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. The angels of the Father are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are inheriting salvation. Do you qualify? Are you inheriting salvation? Say, they're for me. Those angels are for me. And for mine. Yeah. They can do a better job than you. And you know what? They can go through walls. You can't yet. Uh-huh. Well, unless you got some new capacity that I don't know about. Okay? Let's go back again. Verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God, the Father, when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased." Well, that definitely says number 7. And the Holy Ghost was right there with Him, confirming it. We ourselves heard His voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. Do you think Peter's thinking 3, 6, 7, or 8? Isn't that cool? What's wrong with our skinny brain? It needs to have what? A Holy Ghost explosion. Amen? Explode me so that I can now begin to perceive how much of the heavenly church is involved in the earthly church. Amen? Now, 19. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Whose day is it that he's talking about, and who's this morning star rises in your heart? What is that all about? Hey. The coming of the Lord Jesus and the fulfillment of Him in the body.
Within the body.
Within the body. Which body?
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
The earth too.
And mine as well. This earthly tent was designed to start glorifying God. Just like He glorified His Son. Corporately as well as individually. It's coordinated. That's cool stuff. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Just for a moment. You can hold on to your Bible. But you just keep those eyes closed for a moment. And let's say that tonight, on your way home, the Holy Spirit decides to indwell and remain. Okay? So you walk into your house and you go to bed, and then you get up and you realize something's different. Because even if you shut the lights off, the room is still full of light. You look in the mirror with the lights on or off and you can't tell the difference. Everything is full of light. Your family members say, "How come we can't shut the lights off in this house?" If you've got an unbeliever in the house, there's going to be a lot of shouting and screaming. "Shut that light off! I can't sleep!" You go out in the street the next day and nobody recognizes you. Because you look so different. At first, it's going to be novelty. And then it's going to be what? After novelty, what happens?
They want it.
Huh?
They want it.
They want it, so there's jealousy. Are you ready for the backstabbing that's going to happen then? Well, how come you ain't got it? You got it, and I ain't got it. You're so special. Ha, ha, ha. Let's see if we can crucify you or boil you in oil.
My favorite. It can't be of God, it didn't happen here first.
Can't be of God, it didn't happen here first. I like that one. That's a cool one. Are you catching on to what's going to happen? See, the day of the Lord and the glory that will be shining out of His people will definitely bring jealousy. It will bring awesomeness, but it will also bring jealousy. Whew. I want you to recognize when it says in verse 19, it says, in your heart. Inside your heart is where the seed is. And it's going to radiate from there. It's not coming out of the heavenlies. It's coming from within you. Uh-huh. Out of you shall come a river of living water. What's the purpose of the living water?
For everybody else here.
Yes, it's not just for you. Okay? It's to just flood the earth with living water. What does living water do?
Brings life.
Brings life. What else does it do?
Cleanses.
John chapter 4. The woman at the well, she's had a horrible, let's say, background with men. Okay? It's been rough. She's had 4 or 5 husbands, and we don't know the fullness, but she's now living with another man, and she's not married, and Jesus comes to her, and he says, you need living water. Well, why? Because she needs inner healing. Okay? Does she know it? Absolutely not. She doesn't know it. She thinks she's doing it for the good thing. After all, she's still functioning as a woman. But Jesus says, you don't know the kind of water that I can give. The purpose of that living water was to cleanse her from the inside so she could become the first what? Evangelist. She changed the whole town. One little woman with a background and knowledge of a few guys. Listen, see, God's not complicated. He's going to use you. No matter what your background is. Because He's got living water ready to be poured on you and in you. And then, as it churns and it cleanses, my God, you're not going to be what you were. And if you try to clean yourself up, go ahead, work your heart out. When you get tired, ask Jesus to clean you up. He'll do a better job than you anyway. You know why? Because while you're scrubbing, you're going to get very tired. And while you're letting Him come in and clean you up, you're going to get refreshed. Amen? 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture can come about by the prophet's own interpretation. So when I'm under the anointing of the prophetic, it's not up to me to orchestrate what's coming out of my mouth. It's up to the Lord. There are times that I have had no recollection of what I said, and it's not intended for me to remember because my brain is on park. Just like your car, when it's on park, it's not going to move. And there are times when that happens that I even question, and that's one of the reasons why the tape recorder. It's very important. So we have a record. Verse 21. For prophecy never has its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke when they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Try it on. Close your eyes again. Say, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of my mouth, I'm being carried along by the Holy Ghost. It's awesome. It is awesome to think that I am a vessel for my Father's Holy Spirit to bless somebody else, to forecast the future, to dedicate someone to the Lord. And to change people's brokenness into wholeness. It's all invested in me. It's invested in me. Can you imagine? He trusts me with his word. Awesome. Awesome. Exciting. And it'll change my world. Father God, I just believe that you have given them something to chew on. You have given them an impact to be able to change the people they're going to connect with tomorrow and in the days ahead. It may not be a heavy word. It might just be one little word to encourage somebody, to strengthen somebody else, to just lift them up a little tiny bit and to let them know that they're loved. So, Father, let this word impact those that listen to this and those that have heard it. Lord, press them by your Spirit so that they can be used to change people's future and their hearts be transformed by the morning star. In Jesus' name. Amen.